This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching and teaching through the Gospel of John. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
Sometimes when we sing a hymn like that, I feel like I should stand up here and say, well, let's pray and be done. It's a great hymn, and in several places in the Bible, there are no never type statements, and I want you to remember that last phrase, he shall never, no never, no never forsake. We find a similar statement in the passage we're looking at this morning. It is a great blessing, the greatest of blessings, to be a Christian. We say salvation is of the Lord, and we're speaking of the Lord God of the Bible when we make that statement. But it's amazing to say, He saved me. God has forgiven me in Christ Jesus. God has declared me to be righteous in Christ. God has given me eternal life. That me word is important for all of us. I could stand up here and say you. But it's always important to personalize the truth of the Bible. Not just read about the Bible, not just read about God, read about Jesus Christ, but to read it from that personal me standpoint. Because we say, wonder of wonders, I am saved. And our salvation is intimately associated with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation grants us this privilege of relationship with Him and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And this relationship is described in the Bible in a very personal, intimate way. God knows you. He knows everything about you. And before you were saved, He knew all about your need of salvation. He knew your sin nature and your sinful behavior. He knew that you could not save yourself. He knew that you needed salvation that only He could give you. And He called you by name to come to Him. God does not simply possess a general knowledge of all things. He is very particular, very precise, very personal. He calls you by name. You didn't hear an audible voice, but you heard His call in your heart. One day you will hear the voice of God. We have the expectation of hearing Him. Either when you die and you are immediately in the presence of the Lord, the first person you shall see is the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or when He comes again with a shout from heaven. In either instance, He will call you. And it will be a very personal call. A call because He is your friend. A call because He knows you better than you know yourself. And a call because He loves you. The real question is not how well the Lord knows us. The real question is rather how well do we know Him? We know Him because He called us to salvation. We know Him as Savior, and He gave Himself. Jesus Christ gave Himself to save us. We know Him as the Lord, and we submit to Him. We know more and more about Him as we study the Scriptures. But we should know Him in such a way that we're encouraged more and more by your knowledge of Him and as you live with Him because you know how much He cares for you. So we should see His presence in our lives, His leading, His guiding, His providing, His protecting, His sanctifying, His one day His glorifying. We'll see all of these things that He does for us. And His faithfulness to every promise that He has given to you. See Him as your God. See Him as your friend. The Lord's relationship with us is close and personal. And that's the way that we should look at it. I think sometimes So I was studying this passage and thinking about the truth. I thought sometimes we think of running into heaven. Sort of the imagery that I get in my mind, and this is incorrect, but the imagery I get in mind is like the marathon race that you see runners running. And part of it that's correct is you see these runners and they come to the end, you know they've been running for miles. And there's joy on their face in some instances. Some instances there's complete block out of reality and they're just they don't know where they are, they're just crossing the line. But in many instances they've run, they've trained, they're ready, they run with a real sense of joy and they run across the finish line. But it's interesting when you think about that is it's they run across and they have a number. They just have a number on them. And that number is recorded because nobody at the finish line really is looking for them. But in the Christian life, we think of running across this finish line, entering into the presence of the Lord, and instead of just running across with a number, we really run across to meet the Lord. And we can personalize it when we think of people that we know that have died. I think of my dad, and I think of him in glory. And I know that when we be absent from the bodies, you be present with the Lord. But one of the things I know that when I get to heaven, and I don't know how heavenly bodies do this, but I know that he will hug me. I know there will be an embrace. And I know that he'll say, I'm really glad to see you. Because I know him, and I know what the expectation is. But I should also think of that same kind of thing with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I really run into his arms. He embraces me. He is my friend. He is my father. He is the closest friend that I shall ever have. He has given himself for me to bring me to that very place. And here I run, not just across a line with a smile on my face, happy to be finished. No, it's more than that. It's running into the arms of the Savior and running into the arms of all those, really, who know and love each one of us. It's amazing to think about that. I come to a passage of Scripture this morning that I'm quite convinced that the best I can only do with this passage is mess it up. Some of these passages of Scripture are just amazing statements of the goodness of God. And I don't want to complicate this passage at all, but it's a statement that is designed to encourage you to the essence of your being. And you look at this text, and Jesus Christ is speaking, and he is talking to those who are really not believing, and he talks about the difference between the unbelievers and the believers. And he says in this statement, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Just prior to this, he's talking to individuals who are really not believing in him. And he says, you do not believe, verse 26, because you are not my sheep, as I said. And then he talks about his sheep. He talks about what not my sheep looks like, and he talks about what my sheep look like. Because that is the key distinction. I cannot see what it speaks of in John chapter 6, where the Father gives to the Son those whom the Son shall save. He gives them, and I can't have any sense of that from an experiential standpoint. And the Bible speaks about the chosen of God, the elect, that term is a wonderful term that is used with reference to us, the chosen of God. And I look at myself and I can't see any reason why God would choose me, and I can't see any sense of that being chosen. I have no experience of that. But here in this passage, he talks about how you know. How you know that you've been chosen. What the unbeliever looks like and what the believer looks like. What the not my sheep looks like and the my sheep looks like. And the point of this passage is to great, great encouragement to us as Christians in our relationship with the Lord, to know that I am one of the sheep. Because I'm persuaded that the Lord does not want us to live in doubt with reference to that truth, but He wants to live us in great confidence that we belong to Him. That truth is most important to Him, not just to us. It's most important to Him. He says, I don't want you living in doubt. I want you to live in great assurance of me. So when He gives us assurance, He doesn't talk about us. He talks about Himself and what He does for us, because He never fails. So when you look at this passage of Scripture, let me just be a little technical with you at first here in this. There's some people who look at this passage as in terms of two statements, kind of parallel statements, but two statements, sort of like in the Psalms where you see a statement, many parallel statements in the Psalms where you have a statement where two statements are equal. You can have a statement where one statement is given and the second builds upon that statement. But they're sort of parallel type statements, and some take this to be a parallel statement. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the first statement. And sometimes in my Bible, there's a period there, and so others, there's a semicolon there. But that's the first statement. Then the second one is, I give eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And maybe those two statements are made to build upon one another. The first explains the connection that we have between sheep and shepherd. And in verse 28, the second statement says, and this is what He gives to us, and what happens to us because He gives to us. So the first is, this describes the nature of the connection of our relationship with Him, and the second is the blessings that are given because of that relationship. And maybe that's the way in which it's described. I like to look at this passage also in terms of couplets, in two truths that go together. So there's really, you see there's six statements, but I think there's actually, there's a first and a last thing that can be added to this, so you have sort of these four couplets. Because He says in the beginning, my sheep hear my voice, but that statement indicates that there's a call that precedes that. That call is back in chapter 10 and verse 3, He says, He calls His sheep by name. He calls His sheep by name. So if I put this couplet together, I'd say, Jesus calls, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus knows, and the sheep follow me. Jesus gives them eternal life, and the sheep never perish. And there's the couplet then between the Father, the Son, and the Father. No one snatches them from Jesus' hand, and no one snatches them from the Father's hand. And I like to look at it in terms of those couplets because it goes back and forth between the shepherd and the sheep, the shepherd and the sheep, the shepherd. This is what the shepherd does. He calls, that's why I start with him. He calls, and we hear. He knows, we follow. He gives eternal life, we shall never perish. No one snatched them from the Son. No one snatches them from the Father. But as you look at this passage, and you see whether you look at it as a parallel statement or these couplets that go together, the overall picture of what Jesus Christ is talking about is He speaks of this connection that we have with Him. And notice that He describes it as shepherd and sheep. You say, well, that's because of the big illustration of what He's given. But He could change the imagery and He could speak of it as captain and soldiers. That would be nice. He would be the captain, we would be the soldiers. Or He could describe it as the is the mighty God, and we could be described, instead of sheep, we could be described as lions. I think I'd like that better. I think I'd like being a lion better than a sheep. But notice the imagery and the reason for the imagery, because he talks about the shepherd and the sheep. And in this passage, he's talking about us in our weakness, in our helplessness, in our dependence upon the shepherd. The sheep depend upon the shepherd to be taken to have grass to eat. The sheep depend upon the shepherd for the water to drink. The sheep depend upon the shepherd to be protected from the wolves. There is this dependence, and the picture is of us in this state of weakness. And the whole point of that is because the Lord wants us to know, in the state of our weakness as sheep, it is what the Lord does that gives us great assurance. That's what's important to see in this passage. So you can understand it as a parallel statement where it talks about how we get connected to this shepherd and then how he provides for us. That's a wonderful way of looking at it. Or in all these couplets where he does and we receive, he does, we receive, he does and we receive. You can look at it in all those ways. But the point always is to be seen is that we are the ones who depend upon him for the work that he accomplishes. And he doesn't even need to tell us this. We could get all of this when we get to heaven, but he wants us to know it now. He wants us to know it now. So notice first, let me speak of the shepherd. Because he calls, but here in just looking at the text, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." I'll come back to the sheep in a moment. "My sheep hear my voice." And he says, "I know them. I know them." The word that's used here for know is a full and intimate and personal knowledge. He knows our nature. He knows our sinfulness. He knows our need of salvation. He knows us. Sometimes you say, "Well, no, I know myself the best. I'm more intimate in communication with me." I say, "Well, think about this. Sometimes you have a pain here, or something, cough, and you go." You say, "I need to go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with me." I say, "Well, don't you know what's wrong with you?" I say, "Well, no, I need to go to the doctor." So you go to the doctor, you sit down, and the doctor looks at you and says, runs various tests, all kinds of things, and he comes back and says, "Here is what's wrong with you." And the doctor tells you something that you don't know. He says, "Well, now I know." And the doctor can say, "And the reason why you're coughing like that is because you have pneumonia." I knew there was something maybe wrong or something, but now I guess I know I have pneumonia. Because at that point, the doctor knows more about what's going inside of you than you know. You just know there was cough or something. You didn't quite feel right. And the Lord says, "I'm the one who has the thorough knowledge of what's going on inside of you." I mean, we didn't even know that we were sinners until he tells us that we're sinners. We didn't know that we were set apart from him until he tells us that we're set apart from him. We didn't know we were dying and going to hell until he tells us we're dying and going to hell. And when he tells us all of these things, it's because he knows us better than we know ourselves. It's a wonderful thing to think about when you have the Lord in his thorough, personal, intimate knowledge of you. There's no one who knows you, not even you, like the Lord knows you. That's the first thing to observe. And he calls his sheep, but knowing them. He calls the sheep. His sheep hear his voice. But he knows them. And we almost want to say to the Lord, "Lord, if you really knew us, you wouldn't have called us. If you knew how messed up and how sinful and how awful that we are, you would not have called us." He says, "I know you." So we can never say, "Well, the Lord made a mistake in calling me. He made a mistake in drawing me. He made a mistake. The Lord says, no, I didn't make a mistake. I know my sheep. I know you. So this first statement, and it's indicating not only that he knows us, but he continually knows us. He always knows us. That's amazing. And then he says, he gives us eternal life. He knows us. You look at the passage, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. This is the life that only exists in Him. And it's the life that is addressed here that exists without reference to time. The life that exists in God exists without reference to time. It's hard for us to think about that because everything in our existence exists with reference to time. Not so with the life of God. I don't know if we're going to have birthdays when we get into the new heavens and new earth. Because we're going to have life without reference to time. That life we have now. And it's eternal. It's ageless. And that's the life He gives to us. He gives us the life that self-exists in Him. That's why it's eternal. It's the life without reference to time because it's inside Him without reference to time. And it's given to us. And so the best we can do is speak of it as eternal life. This ageless time, this ageless life that exists without God, in God without reference to time. And that's what He gives us. And He gives it in full measure. And this life cannot, by nature, cannot come to an end. We look at life now and we think of life from birth to death. And we sort of have the bookends on that. When we're saved, that death bookend is removed. We know that we shall die if we live long enough, that we shall die. And if the Lord doesn't come, we shall die. That's the but the Bible takes that and says, well, but there is the resurrection and there is life. And we have eternal life. And so God wants us to experience this death. But we have life. This is removed because the life that He gives us is forever life. It's His life. So again, that gives us great assurance. And you don't really need anything else in this passage when He says that. Like, you don't really need anything else except for the Lord to say, I love you. If the Lord says, I love you, they say, I'm good to go. Because if He loves me, that means He set His love upon me. Then everything is provided for me, whatever, because of Him. But here He pulls it apart and you see some facets of that love that He has for us. And He knows us. And He gives us eternal, He gives us His life that He puts in us, that we shall live forever. And then He says, no one shall snatch them out of my hand. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. The word that's used here for snatch is an interesting word, because you might think of the snatching as something where someone sees something that they want and they kind of secretly go over and they snatch it and they grab it and they take it. It's not the way in which this word is used. This is a word that is a forceful seizing. You might even use the word robbery with reference to this word. So no one shall rob you, shall forcibly steal. It's an open act of violence. So when the Lord says, I know and I give, and no one can forcibly take you away from me. There's no one who can mount some kind of an attack. This would include angelic authorities. This would include human individuals of whatever power, of whatever stature that they have, that they could somehow come and force us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says they can't do that. No one has the kind of force to seize us like that. to steal us, to engage in this open act of violence where Jesus Christ is confronted with his sheep. And someone says, I'll have that one. And he grabs that one and takes it away. And he says, that can never happen. So this is not the picture of someone just kind of sneaking someone away. This is someone coming up in the face of Jesus Christ and actually snatching away. And that's what Satan, by the way, has been trying to do since the beginning of the church, since the beginning of time. That those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are Christians trusting in Jesus Christ, that he's tried to just snatch one of them away. If he can just go up and take one. That's why I say the weakest one, the wandering, straying one, is in the greatest danger, because Satan is not looking for the strongest one. He's looking for the weakest. He just needs one, just to grab one of the sheep and pull them away. And the Lord says, it can never happen. He's very strong in this statement that it's a given. And so the point of that is the Lord saying, I know them. In fact, it's the Lord saying to you, I know you better than you know yourself. And I give you, and I continually give you life. And no one, and this is looking into the future, as he gazes into the future with reference to you, he says, no one's going to come and snatch you away from me. It's not going to happen. It cannot happen. Now, with that about the shepherd, then look at the sheep. How do we know that the Lord is our shepherd? How do we know that he's caring for us? How do we know that he knows us? He has given us life, and no one shall ever snatch us away. Well, the answer to that is, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And again, the word that's used here for hear my voice is a sound that is the voice, and it's really where we get our word phone from, for a telephone. But it's The voice is the sounding forth of noise from my mouth that communicates truth from my mind. It's making sounds. If I speak in a foreign language, which I cannot do, but if I speak in a foreign language, then you would not understand what I'm saying. But it's the speaking of sounds that communicate the thoughts that are in the mind. And it says, my sheep, they hear the sounds. They hear the truth. They hear what's in my mind, the shepherd says. As I utter noise from my mouth, it communicates truth to their hearts. From my mind to your heart. Which is the reason why we trust in him. Because at some point, if you're a Christian, you were living your life, and at some point, you hear the truth of the gospel, and you say, I understand that. I understand that I'm a sinner, and I understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners. And I understand that believing only in him is the way of salvation. I understand that truth. Because if you look, Jesus Christ is speaking to a whole lot of people who don't get it. Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or are you not the Messiah? And I wanted Jesus Christ to say that. Have you all been listening? Have you all been walking around and listening to the things that I've said? What's wrong with you? That's what I expect Jesus Christ to be saying. But he says, you're not my sheep. So when the sounds come forth from his mouth, it's like a foreign language. They don't understand the truth that is in his mind and understand it in their heart. But the sheep do. And they hear his voice. Furthermore, it says, and the action here is continual action. We're continually hearing his voice, and we're continually hearing what he has to say. Then it says, and we follow. This is a picture of the disciples. When they heard his voice, they followed him. And to follow him means to follow with the abiding fellowship that you have in Jesus Christ, receiving not only the truth that he gives, but all that he gives. So I not only hear his voice, but I follow him with the expectation of receiving everything from him. That's what it says. So my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And then I love this next statement. It says, and they shall never perish. That reminds us of the hymn that we were singing. Because this is one of those double negative statements. If I can be technical with you for a minute and teach you a little Greek, there's two little words. And the first word, you're going to think I'm just making sounds here, but the first word is ou, and the second word is me. And it's ou me. So you say, that means no, no. So some of you parents need to get those words, because when you say to your kids, when they say, can I do this, you need to be able to say, ou me. No, never. That's a great answer, ou me. Kids are all looking at me, go, thanks a lot for that one. And I know Dad's going to now be saying ooh me to me all the time. But the ooh part of the ooh me is sort of pondering, supposing that something does not exist. It's not just pondering whether it does or doesn't. It's pondering that it doesn't. It's already pondering in the negative direction. That's the ooh. But the second word just is an out-and-out denial of its existence. Whatever it's talking about, whatever the ume is, the first is saying, well, I'm really thinking that this does not exist. It really doesn't exist. So that's why the translation, no, never, I like that translation a lot better. No, never. And what it says here in this passage is they shall no, never perish. They shall no never come to destruction. They shall no never come to nothing. They shall ume, no never. And that's why I like the singing of that hymn, they shall never, no never, no never forsake. He will no never, no never forsake us. Well, here he says, you will no never, ume, no never, perish, be destroyed, be lost. And this is a statement with reference to time and forever on in eternity. No, never. If you want to have assurance, come read that passage. Come read this passage of Scripture over and over again. And underline and put off to the side, ume. Ume. No, never. Shall no, never perish. Now from that statement you say, well, we're all secure. But that's not enough for the Lord to say it like that. You say, well, how can he say more than that? He said already, my sheep hear my voice. They hear the sounds that are made from my mouth, and they understand. My sheep hear my voice. And I thoroughly, intimately know them. And they follow me and receive from me and receive from me and receive from me. And I give them life without reference to time. I give them my life forever. And they shall no, never perish. Neither shall anyone rob them. Take them away from me by force. Well, that's not enough, and it is sufficient. Notice what he says. My Father, who has given them to me, that's with reference to John chapter 6, this giving, the Father says to the Son, I want to give you these sheep. That's what he's saying. I want to give them to you that you may die for them. I'm going to give them to you that you may save them. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. Now here he speaks of this greater, meaning greater in extent, and he's larger, bigger, than anyone else. Greater in rank, greater in stature, greater in extent, larger, bigger, any other way you think about him, he is the greatest. He's greater than all. Nothing compares. In all of this universe, nothing compares. In all of the spiritual domain, nothing compares. Anything brought against God, nothing compares to how great that he is. My Father, the very one who has given the sheep to me, he's greater than all. And now notice this statement, and you say, well, it's the same statement that Jesus said before. It's not the same statement that Jesus said before. He says, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, well, that's pretty similar to, and they shall not catch them out. But you'll notice the previous statement is a statement of future. And he says, neither shall, pointing to the future, all of the future, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. But here, this statement is with reference to the greatness of God, because it says, and no one is able. That's a present tense. Is able. And it speaks of the word dunamis. It speaks of the word that we use to speak of dynamite, which speaks of the ability or the power. Power is included in this word. No one has the power. And it's also stated in such a way that it refers to yourself. So it's like saying, no one is able to snatch them, not even the sheep snatching them from God. Not even the sheep. You say, well, all of us, we know people who have made a profession of faith and walked away. I said, it's always possible for people to come and be associated with other Christians and be associated with the church and to come and make some kind of profession of faith, not really hearing the voice of the shepherd, but making a profession of faith. It's always possible for people to walk away from their profession. But I can also say that whenever someone walks away, and I don't know whether they are, this is a sheep or a not a sheep, I don't really know. But I do know that no one is able to snatch themselves, to rob themselves from God. So someone cannot say, well, I became a Christian. I've heard people say, well, you know, I went to a Christian school. I tried that for a while. I tried being a Christian. It didn't really work for me, so I threw it all away. I say, well, that's not what this passage says. This passage says, when you're sheep and you are given, the Father gives you to the Son, and the Son calls you, and you come to him, and all these truths, that not only does the Son say, they shall not be snatched from me, but the Father says, no one is able. This one who is greater than all says, no one is able, not even themselves, to snatch themselves away. So I know God's purpose with his sheep is always accomplished. 100%. That's why he's the good shepherd. He's never lost a single lamb. And I also like in the hymn that we sang at the end, that's why I said maybe I should just say amen and pray and be done. But I like the verse that speaks of the old age. People in old age, and people in old age become forgetful. People in old age sometimes can become forgetful of their salvation. Isn't that amazing? They can be forgetful of their salvation. My little grandmother, when she died, for a long period of time, she didn't talk anymore because she couldn't communicate at all. She didn't know anything at all. And she could not say, I am confident in my Savior. She didn't know anything. But I like it talked about the hoary hairs adorning our head when we get to the old age and suddenly our hair turns a different color. I don't know how that works, but it does. Like lambs in my bosom, they shall be born. Like lambs in... Well, I thought they had the... This is the gray-headed sheep. No, like little lambs. Why? Because the shepherd is caring for the sheep. And even in old age, when they may forget the shepherd, even in old age when they may forget everything, he doesn't forget them. And no one is able to snatch them away, not they themselves, not their old age, not anything, because the Father who is greater than all. And then there's this final statement, which I can only touch upon, which is probably good, because this is an amazing statement, because he says, and I and my Father are one. And here he speaks of the unity. There's the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons, but one essence, one nature, one will, one heart. And the reason why he makes this statement is to declare the answer to the question that he was asked, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? When he says, I and the Father are one, he's declaring his deity. But he's speaking of the oneness of essence with the Father. There's terrific truth in all of this statement. But part of what it means, most of what it means, is the oneness of essence with the Father. But that also means we're totally agreed on this keeping of the sheep. We're totally agreed in what we're doing with the sheep. This is not the Son doing something and the Father doing something different. We have one essence, one way that the shepherd cares for the sheep. There's no other way that they can seal our salvation any more perfectly than this passage does. That's why I say I hope when I speak about this passage I don't ruin it. Because it is an amazing declaration of the relationship we have with God, that He's the one who gives us, and yet we come and we follow, and we shall never perish. And He loves us, and He keeps us, knows us. You know, these people who were coming were asking questions about Jesus, saying, you don't even know who you are. He says, I know a lot more than you think. I know my sheep. I call them by name. I call them by name. I know my sheep. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That truth is to lead us to worship God. That truth is to lead us to assurance. I can tell you that every ounce of assurance that I have is always in the promises of God and in the working of God the Father and God the Son. I have no assurance in me. The sheep are sheep. They're weak and helpless. And the Lord knows that we're weak and helpless, and He gives us this assurance of what the shepherd does for us. I'm thankful that in every time in my life, the shepherd is shepherding me. At every time in your life, the shepherd is shepherding you. That's what He wants you to know. Because when you have that assurance, you don't just say, well, I know Jesus died on the cross for me, saved me, and I'm sort of on my own. You're not on your own. You may be going through difficulties in your life. You may be going through problems, and you may have all kinds of difficulties and struggles that you have. The shepherd is shepherding you as if you're the only one. And He is shepherding you to eternal life with Him. So when we cross the finish line of our marathon, we are going to run into the Savior, welcoming us, loving us, caring for us, because He's been with us the whole way, caring for us in every step of the way. That's the assurance that the Lord gives to us. I'm so thankful the Lord didn't say, well, I'm going to save you. I hope you make it. I hope you make it through life. Life's going to present a lot of troubles, a lot of trials and everything, and if you're good, you'll make it. If you're not good, well, do the best you can. I'm thankful the Lord doesn't say that. I'm thankful the Lord gives us great assurance that His love never fails and He holds us in His hand. My dad used to say in this passage, we're like sheep, where Jesus holds us in His hand like this, and then the Father takes His hand and holds it like this, and the only way you can the only way you can fall away as a sheep is for the Father to fail and for the Son to fail. And they never fail. We have great assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have great assurance in the Father who loves us. We have a great salvation. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for your giving of us to your Son. We're thankful that you give us and yet you hold us and you protect us. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who laid down his life for us to give us eternal life. We're thankful for the salvation that we have that is complete in him. And we're thankful, Lord, for the assurance that only you can give to us. How thankful we are that our hope of salvation, our hope of eternal life, our hope of glory, our hope of heaven, our hope of the new heavens and new earth, all of our hope is in Christ and in you, Father. And we're thankful that you never fail. What great hope we have in you. So we thank you for this passage of Scripture. May it comfort our hearts. And may it encourage us day by day to know that we walk in this life with the Good Shepherd caring for us. Thank you for your loyal love that never fails. Thank you for your power that never lets us go. Thank you that we are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.